Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert. Today is Wednesday, March 16th. This is Rod Young here with my co-host, Jackie Cornelius. Hi, Jackie.
Hello.
And we are here filling in for Lori tonight. So it's great to be here. It's been a little while since we've been on the show, a few months anyway. A
couple months.
Yeah. So it's great to be back. I love the intro music. I don't know if Lori picked that or what, but it's very soothing music.
Yes, so, I think she did pick it.
Yeah. So anyway, we are going to have a topic tonight that I will introduce you to in a moment, but I'll start out by giving you a summary of the financial markets today. And the markets were up today, and they were up rather nicely, which is welcome given how the market has been the past couple months. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 518.76 points today, closing at 34,063.1, which is up today 1.55%. The NASDAQ was up 487.93 points, closing at 13,436.55. That's up 3.77% today, a very nice jump for the NASDAQ today. And the S&P 500 up 95.41 points, closing at 4,357.86, up 2.24%. So it's a welcome day in the market. Year to date, I'm sure listeners are aware each of those indices are down. Just reminding you to keep a long view. If you go back 12 months, the Dow is up a few percent, even with the correction that we've seen this year. The NASDAQ is basically about break even for the last 12 months, and the S&P is actually up almost 10% over the last year. And then if you go out 5 years, the numbers are still very positive. So keep a long view on the market. Okay, so enough of the markets. Tonight we are going to talk about tax planning with retirement accounts. Usually at this time of year, with it being quote unquote tax season, we typically have a topic that covers taxes. So tonight is tax planning with retirement accounts. We're live tonight. We will take your questions. You can call in. Eric is in the studio with us this evening and will answer your calls, take your information, ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us and we can talk without confusion. If you would prefer to not be live on the air, just give Eric your question. He'll jot it down and he'll bring it to us to try to answer. The number to call is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And again, you can talk to us live on the air or you can give your question to Eric. So, Jackie, I'm going to just kind of throw it over to you to kind of kick off our topic tonight.
Sure. Thanks, Rod. So as you indicated, we are in tax season. So discussing, retirement planning surrounded with, focusing on taxes is definitely near and dear to both of our hearts. And we believe many of our listeners do understand, the basics of what it means to save for retirement. In fact, Rod, I think the last time you and I were on the show, we did discuss retirement saving. And I know your quote, which I've quoted you many a times, is save as much as you can for as long as you can, right? That's the basic premise of how to save for retirement.
That's the strategy, absolutely. If you do that, you'll be successful.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. But tonight we're going to discuss tax planning around retirement. So a little bit of a different nuance and just the various things to think through. So you and I both know there's so many things that we can get into. And when, you know, you and I were preparing for the show, we kind of thought if we start with thinking through two kind of high level questions. And the first being, how much of your income will be taxable? Right. So go back to that. Step one is save as much as you can for as long as you can. But then once you start to think really about retirement, you know, thinking through, you know, Social Security, if you're fortunate enough to have a pension, non-retirement investments, and even other potential sources. You know, do you own land somewhere?
You have a rental property.
Great example. Exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of one, you know, question we think that's important. The second one then, especially directly related to taxes, is what will your tax rate be after you retire? And, you know, we could talk for hours about this, right? Depends on how far you are until you reach retirement. But knowing that we're focusing kind of, you know, for the years during retirement, you know, what tax rate are you going to be in or tax bracket is very critical. And I know some of our listeners out there are saying, but how do you know? And you don't. But you can do different planning scenarios to illustrate.
Yeah, and I think people are kind of in their prime working years and the prime of their careers probably have a general perception that their tax rate after they retire will be lower than their current tax rate. And I think for many, many of those people, they're going to be in for a surprise based on the way certain sources of income are taxed, you know, taxes being phased in at certain income levels, and even things like how much you pay for Medicare, which we'll touch upon later, mm-hmm. is impacted by your, you know, level of gross income, you know, after age 65. So I think people are sometimes surprised.
I completely agree. And all those items that Rod just listed, those are examples without even having any type of tax reform that right. would potentially increase, you know, your retirement tax bracket.
Right. Right. And I know we've talked about this before, Jackie, mm-hmm. that really we are in a historically low tax rate environment right now, relatively low mm-hmm. when you look at,
correct.
You know, look over history. So that may not, mm-hmm. you know, that may not last.
Sure. Sure. So we know given these various unknowns, it is still possible, though, to plan for a potentially better tax outcome. While not a necessity, one approach we think is to use accounts with varying tax treatments. And we're going to talk a little bit more in detail. And why do we like having various accounts, or I should say multiple accounts with varying tax treatment? We like that so really it gives you options.
Flexibility.
Yep, exactly, of how you can control your taxable income during retirement.
Yeah.
Yep. We take for granted that, you know, everyone kind of understands retirement account options and thus, you know, the secondary effect of tax implications. But that's a mistake. So we're going to help explain that tonight. So broadly, we have four types of accounts, you know, that are potentially available to you. And, you know, not all are going to be used. There's a lot of our clients we see have, you know, a couple, one, two, three, handful. But each of them have their own unique tax advantages. So the first one we're going to talk about is probably the most well-known, is what we call that broad spectrum is tax deferred. Okay. And the first one that's going to come to mind there for everybody is a 401k. Okay. 401k just references the IRS code section that the 401k account's tied to.
So this is your employer retirement savings plan.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So, you know, what are the features of a 401k? You have the ability to elect a portion of your income to defer into your 401k plan. This includes 403Bs. 403Bs are typically, you know, offered through either, you know, governmental agencies, nonprofits. Sometimes we see it, hospitals are
yep,
a great
universities,
example.
Universities.
Yep. Educational institutions. Absolutely. And then kind of a subset of that are individual solo 401Ks. So very similar to an employer-sponsored 401K, a solo 401K is for an individual who has self-employment income. And this can vary from any industry you could think of who would be compensated via with self-employment income. It can range to from a musician up to a consultant, board member.
Yeah, solo practitioner, therapist, or physical therapist, or what have you. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So important things to remember about the, you know, these tax deferred, and there's other versions of tax deferred as well. But being that the 401k, 403b, those are the large, you know, kind of the most robust, is the IRS does set limits on how much you can defer each year. It's, as Rod said, it's done via salary deferral, typically for the first two, you know, your 401k and your 403b. You're going to want to pay attention to things if there's an employer, if your employer offers a match. Sometimes they'll say, you know, an example would be a 100% match on the first 3% you contribute. So you want to pay attention to those types of details. And, you know, just vesting period. You know, and that comes down to if you change jobs, you know, and you're putting money in, you're always vested in your contributions. But again, with the match, if your company's matching, sometimes it takes a little bit of time for you to fully receive the benefit, a couple years, sometimes if you want to fully receive what the company is putting in.
Sure.
Some other types of tax deferred are traditional IRAs. So IRAs stand for, you know, individual retirement account. There's also rollover IRAs. So as we just alluded to, if you've worked at an employer and you leave that employer, sometimes you have the option to leave your 401k at that employer, or sometimes you decide for financial reasons to roll over that 401k either into a rollover IRA or possibly into a future employer, a 401k. Mm-hmm. Again, these are all ways, all different types of accounts for you to make deferral elections, again, on a tax-deferred basis. So you're deferring the tax, you're getting the tax benefit today, and then at some point in the future, you will pay tax on these types of accounts.
Your salary is $50,000. Mm-hmm. You put $5,000 in your 401k. You're only paying income tax right now on $45,000.
Yes, and let's make a clear distinction for federal income tax purposes. Yes. States can vary in how they treat the deferral. So that's also an important nuance just to make sure you understand is the state ramifications.
Okay, we are going to take a quick break and we will be back in a moment.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Hi, everyone. Rod Young here with Jackie Cornelius on Your Financial Choices this evening. We are talking about tax planning with retirement accounts. We were just talking, we're going to kind of run through the, you know, kind of major types of accounts you can have for retirement. And then once we do that, we're going to talk about some tax planning strategies after we, you know, go through the types of accounts. We're live tonight, so feel free to call in with questions. You can call in with questions about our topic, or if you have a financial question that's off topic, you can ask that as well. The number to call is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Okay, so Jackie, we were talking about tax-deferred pre-tax contributions into a 401k, and you cautioned us about states that might be different than federal. And of course, Pennsylvania is one of those states. So,
of course it is.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. So I think just to give our listeners a little information, additional information on 401ks, you know, just understanding, I know I referenced what the IRS limits are for 2022. If you are age 50 and over, the limit is 27,000. Again, now we're talking, you know, these are deferrals going into your 401k. All right. And sometimes there might be restrictions. So always read your plan, your summary plan document. But the IRS limit says it can be up to 27,000. And then if you're under age 50, the limit is $20,500. So just, you know, wanted to give some guidance there, some information. And for IRAs, again, these are traditional and or, you know, rollover. The limits are if you're 50 and over, 7,000. And if you're under, it's 6,000. So again, you know, real savings potential there. It's part of what we're talking about, right? We're getting to retirement, and then we're going to, you know, talk about these tax ramifications. But leading up to it, you know, sometimes these tax deferred accounts are very attractive. Rod, you indicated earlier, you know, especially people in their high earning years, you know, you might be thinking you're in the highest bracket, and you might be in a lower one in retirement. And we're going to get into a little bit later how to kind of think about this and piece them together.
Yep.
But some other tax deferred accounts, health savings accounts. We're starting to see some of these more and more. Again, the dollars are not, you know, astronomical. They're nowhere near, you know, you can't set aside dollars like you can at a 401k. But health savings accounts we're seeing becoming more and more popular because it's basically shifting the ability to individuals to save for their retiree medical needs. And again, it doesn't have to be retirement. You can obviously use your health savings account, you know, in your current time period.
Mm-hmm.
But it is nice to be able to have the option to start saving and accumulating dollars for that, again, on a pre-tax basis.
And those annual contribution limits have been slowly climbing.
Yeah,
so,
they have. Yeah, I think it's around, we have this number, it's around 7,300 if you are age 55, or no, 7,300 for family, excuse me.
Yep.
For an individual, it's 3,650. And then for all of our listeners who are lucky enough to be age 55 and over, you get to put in an extra $1,000.
Yep.
So again, the numbers are increasing. These aren't, you know, small as they used to be. Other plans that we think, you know, definitely want to bring up are SEP IRAs. And SEP stands for self-employed plan. For IRAs. There's a horsepower there, and sometimes those plans are appropriate, you know, and that would be by the guidance of, you know, either your accountant or your financial advisor. And then simple IRAs, same thing. So just so you know, there are various ways, various types of accounts that, you know, you have kind of, I don't want to say at your fingertips, but options to save.
So for the self-employed individual out there, we've actually now talked about that twice. So we have the solo 401k and we have the SEP IRA. We as advisors tend to favor the solo 401k because it gives you the ability to, you know, contribute more on a pre-tax basis. The numbers are, you know, are quite high, but the SEP IRA, depending on your income level, you can get pretty close, you know, there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking literally the ability to put aside $60,000+ on a pre-tax basis to these types of plans. So if you're self-employed and you haven't considered that type of plan, it is something you should definitely look into.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of savings power there. You know, and just to go back to the tax, you know, thought process is, you know, most of these reduce your current taxable income. You know, Rod, as you said, dollar for dollar in the year you make the contribution. So to Rod's point, our $50,000 example, you contribute $5,000, it brings your federal taxable income down to $45,000.
And your PA taxable income is still $50,000.
That's right.
So question for you, Jackie, if you are, and you know, this applies to a lot of people. You're not self-employed. You're an employee. You have a 401k plan that you are contributing to. Can you also contribute to an IRA account?
Well, now that's a very interesting question, isn't it? We actually get asked that very often. And the short answer is possibly. I think the question, I'm going to jump in front of you. The question we see probably number one is, what's the maximums, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the maximums really depend. And they're dependent on a couple different factors. So let's say your income, let's go back to our $50,000 example. And let's just say for simplistic purposes, you're a married filing joint couple. Okay, you're starting out, you just got married and one of you is working and you're making $50,000. And somehow you're able to max out your 401k with the, what number we said, $20,500. Okay, you're living very frugally in our example, in mom and dad's basement, right? You absolutely can go ahead and make the additional contributions because your adjusted gross income is below IRS limits. But again, as Rod indicated, you just want to pay very close attention to you know, just the varying limits that are set, because for different contribution thresholds, you know, different plans have different contribution thresholds.
Absolutely. So if you're participating in a 401k, you may be able to contribute pre-tax to an IRA, mm-hmm. but beware of what those, you know, educate yourself as to what those, you know, gross income level, limitations are.
Sure. And yep. it does vary. So, you know, to Rod's point, Rod said about a 401k. And traditional IRA. Another question is 401k and a Roth IRA. Even 401ks that have Roth features, varying options.
Yep, yep. So, and these thresholds, they get adjusted every year and what have you. So we are coming up on our 6:20 break. We will be back momentarily.
Did you know your phone is a radio? You can tune in to WDIY anywhere on the go with WDIY's phone app. Download for free from the Apple or Google Store, and your phone will become your trusted radio. The easy-to-use app lets you listen to WDIY on your phone live and access your favorite music shows on demand. Download and share the WDIY app with your friends and family and introduce them to Many Choices, Real Voices.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Hi, Rod Young, Jackie Cornelius here on Your Financial Choices, filling in for Lori Siebert tonight, talking about tax planning with retirement accounts. The number to call if you have a question that you'd like to ask, 610-758-8810. Feel free to give that question to Eric, and he can hand it off to us, or you can talk to us live. In the meantime, I'm going to turn it back over to you, Jackie, as we continue to talk about the different types of accounts here.
Sure. So we're going to finish up on the pre-tax accounts. Just want to point out some important rules. There is the age 59 and a half rule. So why does that matter? That matters that if you start taking distributions from your pre-tax 401k prior to being 59 and a half, as a general rule, you are potentially subject to an additional 10% penalty when you complete your tax returns. So just, you know, be aware of things like that. Again, we're talking about tax planning around retirement. The other big one is, when do RMDs start, required minimum distributions? Again, thinking about a 401k, you know, you've put money into this on a pre-tax basis. So when does the IRS force you to start taking it out? They force you at age 72. That's been increased in the past couple of years.
Yeah, it used to be 70 and a half.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep. So again, you know, it's about a 4% annual distribution, which is based on the 1231 account balance of the preceding year. So just again, being mindful. Another big one that we see is with your pre-tax 401k money is some people have the ability to do what's called a qualified charitable distribution. Again, that you have the, you know, the power to, you know, kind of allocate, I guess you could say, take up to about $100,000 of your required minimum distribution and direct it to charity. And there is a lot of tax planning around that,
which we can kind of talk about a little more later.
Yep. Exactly. So now that kind of covers at a very high level pre-tax accounts. Rod, why don't I turn it over to you and you can give us a little more information on Roth accounts.
Sure. So pre-tax done. Roth accounts, we're huge fans of Roth accounts. And so unlike pre-tax, when you put money into a Roth account and you can do a Roth IRA, and many employer 401k plans offer a Roth 401k option within the plan. If you're not using it, check with your employer to see if they offer it. Evaluate your situation to see if it makes sense for you to make some of your contributions be Roth contributions. We are huge fans. Big difference when you put money into a Roth account. It is after-tax money going in, so you're not getting any current tax savings by the from the contribution. Like a pre-tax account, the dollars inside the Roth account grow tax-deferred. The big difference is when you start drawing the money in retirement after 59 and a half or after 72 or what have you, all of it is tax-free. The money you put in and all of the growth. Whereas on a pre-tax account, that is when you take the money out in retirement, you're paying tax at whatever your tax rate is. So that's the big difference between Roth and pre-tax.
Sure. And Rod, you alluded to the pre-tax 401k, kind of magic RMD age of 72. Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Do Roth 401ks and or Roth IRAs have that same kind of age hang up?
It's another thing we love about the Roth. It's a good question. Is Roth money is not subject to the age 72 required minimum distribution because there's no revenue coming to the government from it. It's a tax-free distribution. So they're basically like, we're not going to force you to take it out. Where it ultimately has to come out of the Roth account is if you were to pass away, goes to your spouse passes away, goes to your kids, that next generation has to draw it out within 10 years. Otherwise, that money can sit growing tax-free for decades and decades, which it's very, very powerful.
A lot of horsepower there.
Contribution limits are basically, the same as with the pre-tax accounts. So whether it be an IRA or 401k, you have the same exact overall contribution limits. There also are, for the Roth IRA, there are adjusted gross income limits as to whether or not you can contribute directly to a Roth. And believe it or not, those adjusted gross income limits are different than the adjusted gross income limits that Jackie was talking about earlier. So again, something to be aware of. It's not the end of the world. We have had people contribute to a Roth. Their income ended up being higher in the year than they expected, and then you correct it and you get the you get the money back out. So it's not the end of the world. Go ahead, Jackie.
I think just to throw in a very, very common client question we get is, let's say you're under 50 and you have a 401k at your job, and you have the ability to do pre-tax contributions and Roth 401k contributions. Very common question is, how much can I do in each? Is my limit $20,500 in my pre-tax, and then do I get another $20,500 in my Roth?
Right, and the answer to that is no. It is a combined total. So the combination of your pre-tax and your Roth in that example cannot be more than $20,500. And then there's one other thing that we're going to throw, one other new word we'll throw into the mix here when we're talking about Roth, and that is the idea of a Roth conversion. And we have this conversation with people many, many, many times over the course of the year. There's no income limits on being able to convert money to a Roth. And what that means is you are taking money that is already in a pre-tax IRA account, and you are saying, I no longer want it in the pre-tax account. I want it in a Roth account, so I'm going to move it over, and you recognize taxable income at that point in time. And why would you do that? Well, if you thought you could do it and pay less tax now, then you would pay on it when you start taking it out in retirement. It's a great strategy, and we do these every year for people. And we have people who have accumulated significant dollars in their Roth accounts by a series over the years of conversions to target a certain tax rate.
Sure.
Well,
I was just going to say, and again, that focus is all around retirement tax planning.
Yep.
So very specific to each client situation. But just to throw out a couple situations, Rod said, you might want to consider those in a year where your taxable income might be lower. So the year before you decide to take Social Security, year before you have to take your RMDs, your pre-tax RMDs at 72. Those are just, two kind of quick examples of when you might have a lower income year followed by a higher income year where a Roth conversion might make sense. But again, definitely something we recommend you consult, with your, professionals. For your specific examples.
Sure.
Situations.
Sure. So pre-tax accounts, Roth accounts. What's next, Jackie?
Next is taxable accounts. And we just like taxable accounts because it's kind of that third layer of just, completeness, right? You have a stool. I always think of a stool, and the stool balances, pretty good as long as you've got three legs to it. Well, the taxable accounts is kind of that third leg. and a taxable account is, it can be anything from a bank account, a brokerage account, to CDs at the bank. So anything, but it's a little bit different from a tax characteristic in that it's after-tax money. So we've talked about, you know, you take current income, you know, back to our $50,000 example, you defer $5,000 into the 401k, that brings your taxable income down to 45. You take maybe another two and put it in a Roth, that's now after tax, but we'll say tax sheltered, tax deferred, okay? Potentially even retirement income tax free. The last one is the taxable account where you continue to pay tax on the earnings on an annual basis. Interest,
and
dividends,
capital gains. And what have you.
Yep. Sure.
Yep. And so having all three pieces really gives you some planning flexibility and some planning options. So I believe we're coming up on our 6:30 break, so we will be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY Allentown, the time is now 6:30, and I'm Shawnee Gray. And it is 65 with clear skies. Lehigh Valley weather tonight is going to be low around 44. And for your Thursday, we're going to have rain, high 55. Thursday night, low 43. And for your Friday, it's going to be mostly sunny, high 71. Friday night, low 51. And Saturday, we're going to have showers, high 66 degrees. And Saturday night, low 46. Now, back to your financial choices.
Hi, everybody. Rod Young, Jackie, and Jackie Cornelius here on your financial choices, filling in for Lori Siebert tonight. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We're a little over halfway through the show, and hopefully providing you with some, maybe some tidbits, something you haven't thought of as we talk about tax planning as it relates to retirement accounts. So, Jackie, back to you.
Sure, sure. And we're going to get into more details on varying strategies, when to use the pre-tax, the Roth, and the taxable accounts. So one last little bucket, right, because our stool, our three-legged stool, would only get stronger if we have a fourth leg, correct? So, Rod, why don't you fill us in on some of the additional, you know, beyond the pre-tax, the Roth, and the taxable kind of brokerage accounts or bank accounts?
Sure, Jackie. The other common accounts that you'll see is people still do have pensions. These are the old kind of defined benefit pension plans. And so we still see quite a few of these, nowhere near as many as you used to see 30, you know, years ago. And they're the biggest decision on a pension is, do you take an annuity from the pension, or if the pension offers a lump sum, do you take that lump sum and roll it over to an IRA, continue to defer tax? But a pension is pre-tax money, funded by employer contributions, typically. Then typically paired with a 401k plan is something called a profit sharing plan. And that is effectively your, you know, the employer contributions into the 401k plan. And it can be profit sharing contributions. You can have matching contributions. So, again, that's even if you are contributing to a 401k on a Roth basis, an employer match is pre-tax. Employer profit sharing is pre-tax. That is all pre-tax money. We see deferred compensation plans. We've done shows on these in the past. These are for people who are typically higher level managers and executives. We give them the ability to defer money beyond the 401k. So we're not going to spend any time on that tonight. And then we have many people ask us over the course of the year about annuities and tax deferred annuities, and are they a good idea? That can be a leg of the stool. It's not one that we employ as much, but it is a valid tax deferred retirement income vehicle.
Sure.
So that's kind of it in terms of the other category, Jackie. So I guess we should now say, okay, we've talked about all of these types of accounts. Now, what about, you know, kind of planning as it pertains to it? And so this is where we throw in that term, of tax diversification. Do you want to kind of elaborate on what we mean by tax diversification, Jackie?
Sure. Given that each one of these has differing tax characteristics. You know, Rod had indicated, you know, with the pre-tax accounts, money goes in, you get a current tax deduction. When money comes out, you pay tax, ordinary income tax. Having the varying various types of accounts allows you to diversify in a certain situation in retirement. So we're going to talk in a little bit more just about how we can, you know, how you can think through these things from a tax planning standpoint, you know, while focusing on tax diversification.
Sure. And so a simple example of that is if, okay, you're retired, you've got money in a pre-tax bucket, you know, pre-tax IRA, 401k, you've got money in a Roth account, you've got money in a brokerage account, and it's time to buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
If you have these different buckets, and now you need $40,000 to buy a new car, if all you have is pre-tax money,
you have one option.
You've got one option, and you probably need to take out $60,000 to buy that $40,000 car.
To cover the tax.
Yep. Mm-hmm. If you have Roth money, you can take out $40,000 to cover that $40,000 car. Mm-hmm. If you have after-tax brokerage account money, maybe you have to take out $45,000 or something. Depends on the nature of the assets in your brokerage account and if you're recognizing any capital gains. But the bottom line, like we've mentioned earlier, is it gives you flexibility and choices.
Sure, absolutely. And again, going back to that, you know, initial comment of you know, not knowing what tax brackets you're going to be in. You know, people all varying ages, it doesn't really matter what your current age is. It matters more how long you have until retirement. But the longer your runway, the less, I would say, the more uncertainty of you knowing what the tax bracket is going to be when you retire. And Rod indicated we are in relatively low, you know, kind of tax, you know, rates currently, historically low. So, you know, I, for myself personally, I typically plan for higher income tax rates.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just to be on the safe side.
Yeah,
exactly. So,
what about Roth?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we didn't talk about earlier was, so, but if you want to put money into an IRA or a Roth IRA, you actually have to have earned income. You can't just, you
it's
know,
not a savings account.
It's not a savings account. Mm-hmm. So, you have to, you know, if you make $6,000, you know, in income, you can put $6,000, up to $6,000 in a retirement account. If you make $5,000, you can put up to $5,000. So you're limited by your earned income. So one of our favorite things to talk about with clients is as their children become young adults and start their first jobs is helping to fund a Roth IRA account at age 19 or 20 when someone makes $3,000 or $4,000 in a summer job is one of our favorite strategies for multiple reasons. It gets young people thinking about saving for the long term, and the power of $4,000 growing from age 19 to age 72 tax free and even thereafter, it's
unbelievable how much it grows too.
A very wise person once said to me, a great strategy if you want to kind of incentivize your children to save is offer them a match. So just say, look, you have this summer job. If you put $500 into a Roth account, we will match up to $500. So it's a great way to get them thinking about saving. I think I love it. I think it's a great strategy.
Sure, absolutely. And again, you know, going back to helping them understand, you know, they're foregoing the tax, you know, savings currently. And again, you know, most teenagers, young adults, they're in lower tax brackets. Not all, but most are in lower tax brackets. So again, a Roth IRA and even eventually a Roth 401k, they're very advantageous because it doesn't matter if they're foregoing, you know, say the tax savings and when they're in the 12% bracket, you know, or even the 10% bracket for that matter. So just great savings vehicle there.
So 401k, we talked earlier about checking with your employer. Do you have a Roth account? Not all 401ks do. More and more are adding it as an option. It's beyond me why every 401k out there doesn't offer it, but not all do. But most do now. Mm-hmm. I didn't used to be able to say that, but now I think it actually is most do offer it. And so evaluating whether to contribute pre-tax or Roth, We've talked about, look at what your current tax rate is. What do you think your tax rate is going to be in retirement? And I would argue there's some uncertainty there, so why not do both?
Sure, hedge your bet, right? We all like that. It gives you, again, we're going back to building the legs in the stool, right? So even if you're not sure of what your tax rate's going to be in retirement, why, going back to that $20,000 500, you know, threshold, why not do half into the Roth and half into your pre-tax 401k? Understanding as you make changes that to the extent you are decreasing the amount going onto the pre-tax side. So sometimes we have some very enthusiastic clients and they get a raise and they say, oh, this is great. I've got a little bit more money. I'm going to start putting everything into the Roth side of the fence, right? Instead of doing pre-tax half and half. Understand every time you reduce the amount going into the pre-tax bucket, you're increasing your taxable income. So you just have to understand, you know, kind of that ramification. And be aware of other things you might phase out of, too. You know, there's a whole bunch of credits that exist right now, and they've got all varying type of adjusted gross income limits. And Rod and I have like a 4-inch thick book here that goes through all those.
That is a great point. And so the pre-tax reduces your adjusted gross income, which could impact whether you're eligible for some of these like college education credits.
Sure. Child tax credit.
And that is huge if you make that mistake. So yes, we love the Roth, but it doesn't reduce your adjusted gross income. So when you're doing it, make sure you are looking at your entire, you know, situation.
Mm-hmm.
And another way I've kind of described the Roth 401k over the years is if somebody comes to me and they say, you know, I feel like I'm playing a little catch up with saving for retirement. To me, if they can handle it from a cash flow perspective, make it all be Roth.
Sure.
Because you are saving both the money you're putting in and the tax now. So I kind of call it supercharging your retirement savings, maybe for someone who feels like they're playing a little bit of catch up.
Sure. And we see that. A perfect example of that is for a client who's worked at a company for a long time that they didn't have the Roth 401k as a feature, and maybe now it was added. And you know, they're, you know, to your exact point, they want to supercharge it because they haven't had that option in the past. And let's say maybe because their, you know, adjusted gross income limit was, you know, too high and it did not allow them to contribute to a Roth IRA outside of their 401k.
Sure. Or maybe they, you know, had to, you know, skimp on their retirement savings because they had four or five kids to put through college, you know.
Sure. And or to take care of a parent.
Take
sometimes
care of
we
older,
see a lot of clients taking care of, you know, senior parents.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
So how do we begin to start thinking about this? You know, that's what we get asked a lot. So now we're talking about all these various accounts. So if you start to really, what we call, you know, illustrate them or layer them out, you know, because you're forced to start your pre-tax dollars at age 72. So, you know, kind of the back of the envelope there, Rod said, you know, 4%.
Yep.
So if you kind of illustrate that out, and then depending on when you're ultimately going to retire, okay, whether it's, you know, any varying ages, right, 60, 65, you retire at 60, you know, one option there is you cannot take Social Security yet, okay?
Right.
So then what are your buckets that you're drawing from? Okay. And this is where we do find, you know, for people, for our clients at least, who are getting closer to retirement, having it illustrated does allow you to start to see opportunities. Rod gave us that great example of one, you know, needing to buy a car. Very common example of people in retirement. You know, that does happen. Once you start to see where the income sources, which buckets they're coming from, Social Security, your pre-tax 401k dollars, if you do have Roth 401k dollars, brokerage accounts, once you start to illustrate it, you start to see, you know, qualified professionals start to be able to identify planning strategies for you, okay? So I think one of the big ones, though, is understanding the impact of Social Security and the tax ramifications that has in retirement. Rod, why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, people are often very surprised to find out that, you know, their Social Security benefits are subject to income tax. And it all depends on what your total income is in retirement. And at different thresholds, Social Security can be 50 to 85% taxable. Mm-hmm. So understanding what those breakpoints are. So someone could be, you know, in a 15% tax bracket and need to draw some pre-tax money and find out that they're actually paying, you know, 25% tax on it because it's now causing more of their Social Security benefits to be subject to income tax. This is this whole conversation that we touched upon earlier about understanding what is – people don't have a full handle on what their true tax rate is in retirement when you start factoring in something like that. So we have about we're coming up on our 6:45 break. So we're going to take a break right now, and we will be back in a moment.
WDIY's public affairs interviews are now on major podcast platforms. This month's edition of QLV features Black Lives Matter Lehigh Valley founder Justin Parker Fields.
There's so many different intersectionalities. I mean, even to this day, like, I'm still educating and learning as I go, because that's important. You know, we can't just shut ourselves off and just self-identify and say, okay, I'm only worried about people that look like me and identify as me.
Listen to QLV, available now on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Hello, everybody. Rod Young and Jackie Cornelius here, coming into the home stretch on your financial choices tonight. It's great to be here with you. I hope we've kept you engaged and interested as we talk about tax planning for various types of retirement accounts and retirement income sources. Jackie, we were talking over the break about some examples of situations we see.
Sure. Going back to Rod, your example. So the one we just talked about was, you know, again, understanding what your tax rate is in retirement. And Social Security is a big wild card. In addition to Social Security, once you start Medicare, are your Medicare premiums and this lovely thing called the IRMA adjustment.
Yes.
As if it's not already complex enough. So let's just say you're taking a little bit out of your 401k, your pre-tax 401k. Let's say you haven't touched your Roth bucket yet, okay? But you are getting ready to start your Social Security, okay? And let's go with your age 67. So you're at normal Social Security age or normal retirement age. So you're kind of living on your Social Security benefit and a little bit, maybe not the full 4%, but you're living on a little bit of your 401k annual distribution to kind of meet your, you know, needs. And then let's go back to Rod's example of all of a sudden you need a car. So what happens? Well, Rod had alluded to earlier, you could take that from varying buckets, right? You could take it from you could take an additional distribution out of your pre-tax 401k. The one downside to that is if you're taking money out, you're taking, let's say, $40,000 out. Rod said you probably have to take $60,000, to cover the tax. Same thing with a taxable brokerage account, albeit won't be ordinary income that's coming out. You have to pay sometimes a little bit of tax on, potentially capital gains and any interest dividends that you're pulling out of the account. So you might be taking out $45,000. And then Roth bucket, if you wanted to use that, you're taking out, just the flat 40. But Rod, why don't you talk a little bit about the potential impact that these IRMA adjustments and what they do to the tax brackets?
Talk about surprising people. So this is paying for Medicare Part B when you reach age 65, and based on your based on your gross income, you're going to pay a certain premium for Medicare Part B. It's based on your gross income from two preceding years. Okay, so here in 2022, your Medicare Part B premium is based on what your gross income was in 2020. Okay, but how would you like it if your Part B premiums doubled because of the fact that you needed to buy a car? And doubling, so for example, a married couple filing a joint return, if their total income is under $182,000, they each pay $170 a month for Medicare. If that income is $228,000 or above, it doubles. So you now have gone from 170 each to 340 each. I think on the math on that is about a $4,000 increase in your Part B premium by taking $40,000 out of a pre-tax bucket, which, by the way, you needed to take $60,000 out to get $40,000. And so you've just, the tax rate effectively on that withdrawal has just jumped dramatically because of your Medicare Part B premium.
Sure. And while that, the 200, I don't remember exactly what the threshold was, but the $200,000 number, I know some of our listeners might be thinking, well, that's a bit high to get to. But let's replace car with, you know, addition on the house, right? You're now retired. You might not want to take a home equity loan out. You might want to use your assets. Well, if you have, again, going back to our stool, right? If you only have one leg of that stool and you have only pre-tax money, every dollar you're taking out, you have to think of the tax ramifications. So let's say you're taking $80,000 out. Well, you actually might need $120,000 to cover the federal income tax on that because that's coming out as ordinary income. Same thing when you're contemplating doing a Roth conversion on the IRMA adjustments. Roth conversion seems great, right? You're in a low bracket. Well, all of a sudden, you might do, you know, $50,000 Roth conversion, and you might be throwing your adjusted gross income into the next IRMA bracket.
Yep.
So just, again, being mindful of what bracket, not only what you're in kind of in general during retirement, but anytime you're trying to do maybe something unique or a little different than what you've already planned for, just understand the ramifications with that. I think when we start to look at, you know, we now have our kind of our stools, right? Now we can kind of talk a little bit maybe more about how does it make sense to position some of your investments. You know, Rod alluded to, we like the Roth. The Roth is typically the last quote unquote touched dollars, just because of that, you know, deferred nature and the compounding it has and the fact that you are not forced to touch it at 72. So we do like to see, you know, assets that, you know, just can grow, have the most potential to grow, you know, the most aggressive, you know, but having things that are considered tax efficient, in your taxable accounts, right? Because you're paying the tax on that. Rod, why don't you go through some of those assets that we think are, you know, tax efficient?
Yeah, sure, sure. And this is something, the term on this, I believe, is the, you know, asset, you know, location. What types of investment assets to locate into these different types of accounts? So, you know, tax efficient assets that you want to hold in a non-retirement account are, you know, real estate can be very, very tax efficient, real estate investment funds. Municipal bonds are tax exempt. And, you know, bonds right now aren't, you know, generating significant returns. But over the long term, municipal bonds paying tax exempt interest can be very powerful. Assets, individual stocks that produce what are known, referred to as qualified dividends because they get a preferential tax rate. And then mutual funds and actually like index mutual funds and exchange traded funds. These are typically pegged to a particular stock index, don't pay a lot of capital. They're not actively traded, and so they don't pay a lot of capital gain distributions at the end of the year. So they're good vehicles to have, and you know, what we call a non-qualified or non-retirement account.
Sure, those are some great examples. And now we can, you know, kind of again, going back to just being mindful. So those are some great assets to be holding in your after-tax accounts, your taxable brokerage account. And then also, again, taking into consideration any large capital gains. You know, you just want to understand your holding period.
Holding period is huge because long-term gains, which is 12 months or more, much more preferable to short-term gains from a tax rate standpoint.
Absolutely. And we've seen it. We can speak from personal experience. We've seen people miss that long-term capital gain holding period by a couple of days.
Yep.
And, you know, we understand, you know, the investments kind of dictate things first and foremost. But if you're just a couple days shy of that long-term capital gain holding period, it's definitely just something to be aware of when you're making the decision to exit a position.
And then what about actively managed mutual funds? Because I touched upon exchange-traded funds and index funds earlier and how they can be pretty tax efficient. What about an actively managed mutual fund?
Sure. Actively managed definitely serve a place. Those we like in the sense that hopefully you can you know, perform better than the indexes, those we like to place in the tax deferred accounts. Because to your point earlier, a lot of the actively managed mutual fund managers, they do potentially have larger year-end capital gains distributions. But if they're in a tax-deferred account, either a you know, pre-tax 401k, pre-tax, you know, even a Roth, those taxes are sheltered.
Sure.
So we really like those a lot. And again, you know, diversification, you know, helps overall. But those little, the little, to Rod's comment, how he said asset location, it does have an impact, you know, over the long term, to help the portfolio perform, you know, I would say to help from a tax perspective, potentially increase your overall rate of return.
Yeah. And keep in mind, these are not absolutes. It is perfectly fine to hold, you know, exchange-traded funds and index funds in your 401k.
Sure.
Most employer 401ks, a lot of what they offer are index funds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's perfectly acceptable. It's perfectly acceptable to hold an individual stock portfolio inside a retirement account. I think of people that, you know, were smart, invested in Apple and Microsoft, you know, inside their IRA many, many years ago, and if they want to pare back their positions at all, you know, they mm-hmm. can do it without worrying about the tax consequences versus someone who invested in, you know, outside and held on to that Microsoft or Apple stock or Amazon or whatever. You know, there's always that issue of, oh, I don't want to take the capital gain and pay the capital gain tax. So it is not, it's perfectly okay to hold those in retirement accounts.
Sure, sure. And one other asset that we're starting to see more and more common is cryptocurrency, right? Good old-fashioned Bitcoin, but it really is. So again, understanding the tax ramifications around that and where you're holding it and what you're using it for are all important when it comes to, you know, current taxes and retirement planning. You know, we're just starting to see the evolution of the point to get to where we understand cryptocurrency from a actually controlled and regulated tax environment.
And the tax reporting on it. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of years ago, it was kind of the wild, wild west of reporting. And now there's actually legible reports that we can, that you know, people who hold it and have sold it can provide us to do the tax reporting on that.
Sure, sure. So I think just to, and we can get into anything we want a little bit more in detail, but I think just to give our listeners a bit of a summary, and this again is high level, and you always would want to speak to a professional that knows your situation specifically and can address your personal financial goals. But at a high level, general, considerations would be if you're in a lower tax bracket, you know, and that we define, you know, 0% or the 10% or 12% bracket. Again, at a high level, that's where it does make sense to fund retirement savings via a Roth IRA or Roth 401k. You're giving up the current income tax deduction, you know, for the long term, you know, potential distributions coming out all tax free.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you think, you know, you're going to be in a higher tax bracket in the future, or if you feel very strongly that tax rates are going to go up when you retire, you know, the Roth just makes a lot of sense. Rod, why don't you talk a little bit about if we're in the middle tax brackets, the 22 to 24.
Yeah, then he can play both sides of the fence.
Yep.
You know, and it's like we talked about earlier. There's uncertainty. You know, just put half your contributions into, the Roth account in the 401k and put half in the, in the pre-tax side.
Play
both sides.
Sure. And for our highest earning kind of brackets, and we'll preface that with if you're in your highest, you're in the highest tax brackets today while you're working yet, okay, understanding what your projected retirement brackets will be are important. Also then seeing how the income layers out. And there we would add, in addition to possibly your pre-tax 401k and your Roth, if you have it, whether it be 401k or IRA, and then your taxable potential brokerage account. Also then, do you have deferred compensation? Do you have, potentially any of these other retirement plans? Seeing the impact of that to help make, more long-term retirement decisions. We would always caution when dealing with deferred comp, though, you address those kind of issues when you're first making deferrals.
Up front.
Yep. Yeah, when you're first making deferrals into the deferred comp, albeit you may be very young and have the opportunity, always talk to, somebody who is knowledgeable with regard to deferred comp, but seeing it and seeing how, and to Rod's kind of comments earlier about understanding the tax impact.
Yep, we're coming up on the end, Jackie. We've got about a minute left. Top one or two takeaways, I would say, number one, we do love Roth accounts, mm-hmm. and so work with your advisors to figure out if there are strategies that you should and can be employing to build up, you know, some Roth money. That's probably one big takeaway, if I can communicate that tonight. So talk to your Roth conversions, talk to people.
Backdoor Roth conversion
backdoor
we didn't
Roth.
Even get to get into.
It could be on the chopping block. We didn't even get to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Any other, one more takeaway?
No, just try to get as many of those legs to the stool as you can.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. great. Yep. So, Jackie, it's been great doing the show with you again.
Likewise.
And I don't know if Lori's listening or planning on listening, so maybe she'll let us come back and
hopefully,
you know, and do it again. She will be back next week, and I believe her topic for next week is she's going to do more listeners' tax questions and 2022 tax projections. Thanks for listening, everyone. You have a great evening.